All right, so we are going to begin to see the yes. The official B'Shabbos is actually, when we did the official Shirim on the Wednesday night, so we pointed out that there's really two aspects to the law, that when people refer to Hilchos official B'Shabbos, they're really referring to two separate things. I mean, one is the laws of actually cooking, the Isser D'Oraisa of cooking, and the Mishnah Berurah describes what that is. The first Mishnah Berurah describes what actually is cooking. So the other thing that people talk about when they refer to Hilchos Bishul is the heating up of foods. So the heating up, of reheating of foods that were already cooked, a bishul achar bishul, so you're only involving yourself in dini derabanan. You're only involving yourself in rabbinic law. And in Hilchos Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch is set up such that they do all the dini derabanan first, and they do all the dini deraisa second, that they do all the derabanan first, and then so the laws of reheating is found in Reish Nun Gimel and Reish Nun Dal and Reish Nun Hey, but Shin Yud Ches is really the starting point for Hilchos Bishul. So I figured we would start at the starting point in Simen Shin Yud Ches, even though it's a little bit later on. Now the first sif of Simen Shin Yud Ches is actually not a Hilchos Bishul sugya. So that's tonight we kind of start on a little bit of a separate sugya. It is the Hilchos of Hamavashel B'Shabbos Osha Asa Achas Mishar Malachos, or one who does one of the other malachas. Right? If somebody does a malacha on Shabbos, what is the status of the product of that malacha? Is it usable on Shabbos? Is it usable for him? Is it usable for someone else? Is it usable for no one else? Is it ever usable for somebody? What are the halachas of somebody that is mivashel b'Shabbos? So the sugi is based on the Gemara that appears in no less than four places in Shas, where it discusses, there's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. There's actually one other opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, who we don't really hold like. But it's a question who we hold like between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. This is all in terms of background. Rabbi Meir sover inas b'shogeg mutter afilu bo bayom. Rabbi Meir holds that if you did it b'shogeg, it's mutter that day. And if you do it b'mezid, it's not mutter until after, what does he actually say about b'mezid? I don't have the Gemara here. It's all right. Okay, Rabbi Meir says something about it. If the b'mezid, it's not the person who does it can't use it. Unclear, but it can't be used until after Shabbos, right? So again, Rabbi Meir is saying b'shogeg could be used right away, it did by accident. The b'mezid has to wait till later. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Sover b'shogeg mutter l'motzei Shabbos. If you do it b'shogeg, so then you have to wait till motzei Shabbos. Okay, if you do it by accident, you have to wait till motzei Shabbos. Rabbi Meir says if something was done by accident, you'd help you, right?
I'm going to get there.
Okay. If Rabbi Meir holds that if you did it by accident, you could use it right away. Well, Rabbi Yehuda says if you did it by accident, you could you have to wait till after Shabbos. How do we pass between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda?
So in effect, he's saying there's no difference between b'shogega or b'mezid. He's not, isn't that? They both the same.
No, if you do it b'mezid, you may never be able to use it.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so there would be a difference. It would be bumped up a level. Okay, Rabbi wait till that, right? Rabbi Huda says the person who did it for himself can never use it for Rabbi. The person who he did it for has to wait till after Shabbos, anyways. Okay, so there is. So how do we pass between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda? So most of the Rishonim say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So this is another one of those cases where it's like halacha vein baran king, where yes, maybe we paskin like Rav Meir, but don't tell anybody. It's quiet, private.
So that is
a question between the two, who we hold like between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So
the answer is why. The question is why.
The question is why. Why would we be strict of one over the other? Why would
you paskin like Rabbi Meir, but say no, and just dismiss it all, and say, we don't tell anybody that. We actually tell them that we're passing
the life of Yehuda. So the Gemara has this story, and the Gemara in Chulin tells the story that when Rav used to teach talk to his Talmidim, he used to teach according to Rabbi Meir, and when he would teach in the base medrash to all the Baal Batim, he would pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because he was concerned that they were Amayarat, that they really didn't know anything, and that they were going to get confused, and then they were going to actually start doing Malacha. They would get confused. I could do it, but sure. They would start getting confused about what you could actually use on Shabbos and what you couldn't. So they were concerned about that confusion, so therefore it was more strict for the Baal Batim than it was for the Bnei Yeshiva, which is a little bit different than what we have today, right? Usually it's the opposite. Shefti used to point that out. Whenever there would be a sugya that would describe that because Bnei Yisrael was lax in something, so they started becoming machmir. So Shefti used to say, you see, when Bnei Yisrael is becoming lax, right, you don't become more makel, you become more machmir. Right? You have to push it the other direction. So that's always a challenge. It's always something to figure out. So the Gemara tells the story that when somebody would come and teach the halacha according to Rabbi Meir, and they got very upset with him. So the Gemara says, why are you getting so upset with him? They're teaching Rabbi Meir's din. The answer is no, because you're really not supposed to teach that. It might be the halacha, but you're not actually supposed to teach that. Okay, so that's the background here. There is a conflict as to what we hold with regard to these halachas. Okay, so where the Machaber holds lahach, the Machaber holds to be stringent, and then we'll see what holds we knock in that. So Amavashel b'Shabbos or she'asa achas mishar malachos. So somebody who cooks on Shabbos or does one of the other malachos. So b'mezid, did it on purpose. So aser lo liolam ulacherim mutar lemotzei Shabbos miyad. That if the person did it on purpose, it's prohibited to him forever. But to others, it is mutter b'motzei Shabbos miyad. Immediately as Shabbos is over, he is permitted to do it. So we, I think, came across what this is in Hilchos Yontif. We came across what this is coming to exclude. I remember in Hilchos Yontif we said something else. That if somebody does something for somebody else on Yontif, right, that we weren't supposed to, so when are they allowed to use it?
The amount of time that
we have to wait, right. There's this idea of Kedei Shiyasu. There's this idea of maybe you have to wait the amount of time such that you won't be getting any benefit from it. So that's not being included here. So why not? Mishabur talks about that. Let's just do the whole sif and we'll get back to it, okay? So asa liyom l'acherim mutter ul'motzi shavis miyad uv'shogeg asar bo bayom. And however, if it was done b'shogeg, done by accident, it's prohibited that day. Gam l'acherim, also for others. Ula erev mutter gamlo miyad. And as soon as nightfall comes, it's permissible for everybody immediately. And the Evim Amr le'inu Yehudi l'asaslo malacha v'shabbos. And if it was done by asking a non-Jew, so see Shim Simon Shin Zayin, go see something else that's not our din right now. Okay, so let's go back now to the Mishnah Berurah. So the first Mishnah Berurah is just commenting on the words mevashel. This is actually a halacha having to do with mishel. That he points out that echad the Mishnah Berurah says echad mevashel samaychal o esasim emanim o hamechamim esamayim, meaning whether you're cooking food or whether you're cooking samanim or like
eating water.
Spices. Right, some kind of spices, or whether you're cooking water, right? All of these things are considered cooking, right? And what it mean what? So Mishbar adds in Ratzalomer after Maim Royal Lishtia below Bishel. Even though you could have drunk the water without cooking it, right? Water is edible even when it's cold. Behu Adin in most countries. Behu Adin. Chalav, same thing with milk. Mikol makom chayiv, your chayiv came in demishtabeach aydei habishal, plus you enhanced it by cooking it. V'yechar ha'ofes ha'pas ha'kol inyan echar. All of that is considered one halacha. That afiyah hu me'inyan bishal, el shafiyah hu b'pas, v'bishal hu b'shari dvarim. That afiyah, sometimes the malacha is called afiyah, sometimes the malacha is called bishal. Why is it sometimes called afiyah and why is it sometimes called bishal?
Baking is different.
One is baking, one is cooking. They're both the same iser. So why is it referred to in different ways sometimes?
Cooking's with water.
Yeah, they were both separate malachos having to do with the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Right? The cooking was in order to cook the dyes, in order to get the dyes ready, whatever. And the baking was done for the Lechem HaPanim. So they're both separate aspects of work in the Beis Hamikdash, so sometimes they're referred to in different ways. Sometimes the Malach is called different things, but they're both Asir.
What does it mean when somebody does something b'mezid and you're Asring it to him? I mean, Tachlis, what does that actually mean? Somebody intentionally does something.
Someone might be here at the door. I think I heard.
That's a phone.
That was you? Phone
that was my phone vibrating.
No, there's the shul phone.
That's a shul phone?
That's
okay.
A shul phone.
What does that mean? That means that he can't eat it. That means that it's usher.
I'm saying he's not shomer mitzvot anyway, so it's like you're...
Well, who says he's not shomer? Maybe he said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was brought down this road. You're right, so that's not so relevant. The person does something amazing. Usually speaking, unless he has some kind of thing in the middle, is a thing. But it just comes up a lot more where...
Well, in St. Louis there was a bakery, or there still is a bakery. It's a kosher bakery. It's open on Shabbos. I mean, you can't go in.
Right, in Philadelphia as well. There is
a
bakery.
Well, I'm not sure. The owner may be Jewish, and the people there may... I'm not sure even if the people working there may...
Yeah, it was
maybe
there was a bakery on the shelves, but right. The garage farmers.
Right, so there
no,
are...
No, this was...
Though there are in this town, it's happening now. But whatever. No.
They put different tags on it for the stuff that was baked on Shabbos. I don't know if they still do, but years ago I knew that there were different tags.
Okay, I mean, anyways, there is a question, by the way, right, that if you hold like the Machaber, that it's usher liolam, that it's prohibited forever, right, so it's usher to the baker forever, right, he's not allowed to eat it. So, wait a second, that means he's allowed to sell it? Maybe he's not allowed to sell it either. If he's not allowed to sell it, maybe I'm not allowed to buy it. Right? So even that then becomes
unless
relevant.
You're not Jewish. If you're not Jewish, then there should be no question about whether you can buy it or not.
If you're not Jewish, you're not Jewish.
Well, this was had some type of official sanction of some sort. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Not going there. But then the Bishogi cases happen all the time, and that's the whole question in Israel. About are you allowed to use electricity? Right? That's why some neighborhoods don't have to use generators on Shabbos, because they don't want to use electricity from the very from neighborhoods. use generators because they don't want to use electricity because it might be done by a Jew, whatever. Right? That's the issue of somebody doing something amazing, and us not wanting to get benefit from it, or could we get benefit or not getting a benefit from it?
Since you brought up electricity, so let's say you're in the house in this dark room and somebody flips on the switch by mistake.
Right.
Now, are you allowed to read? Are we going to get to that?
Yeah, so that's the Bishogig case here that we're going to talk about. And it's possible that's not even Bishogig. It's possible that might be Misasik, meaning Bishogig is a specific definition. Right? Bishogig is either you didn't know it was Shabbos or you didn't know it was Asur. So here, you knew it was Shabbos, you knew it was Usher, and it happened anyways.
You're absent-minded.
Right, you're absent-minded. So it could be that's considered misasik. The question that comes up perhaps more, is I remember when my grandfather, Allah Shalom, used to always remind me of this, that my grandparents were not Shomer Shabbos, but very traditional. I remember we used to go to their house for Shabbos, and my grandfather always reminded me that one time I saw him turn a light on Shabbos, and I looked at him and said, I thought you were Jewish. so that's a shaila, right? So those people that stay by relatives that aren't from, and the relatives are turning the switches on and off, right? So then they don't care at all. So can you use that light? So this happened a couple of weeks ago. I was looking into this. There was that fellow from the yeshiva in Israel or whatever, that guy who was hanging around for a week or two. And he was staying, right, he was staying by this family in Wynwood, and he asked me that child. He said, what do we do on Shabbos? They're going to turn lights on and off. Are we allowed to sit in the room? So I think we'll cover that. We'll cover that tonight. So these questions are very relevant.
I have that whenever I visit my parents.
Okay.
There's a story of a rabbi, supposedly, who light was turned on on Shabbos. He didn't see it. To him, it was off. But this is right here. A level we have to move.
Okay, good. So that's Bishul, and the Mishnah goes on to give to explain that Bishul is whether you're making something that was solid liquid, or maybe you're making something liquid that was solid. All right, all that falls into the categories of Bishul that we'll pick up on later on. Okay, so what about some Vashel Bish Shabbos? So what the Mishnah say here? So Mishnah Berurah of Beis, right? We're about five lines after it becomes wide, right? B'Shabbos. V'chol she'esh safek plukta b'zeh. So if there is a safek, so that there's a dispute about it. Yihaveh b'chlal bishul olav. If that is included in bishul or not. Meaning what? O b'shar malachos kai gavna. Ein lasor b'dievet. V'chol ha'isra hazeh hu rak midrabanan shekansuhu v'sveika d'rabanan l'kula. That if there is a dispute about whether it's Shabbos, there's a dispute about whether it was a malacha or not, so we don't aser it b'di'eved, because all of these isurim are only d'rabbanan, right? And sveika d'rabbanan l'kula, right? And we always go l'kula, we always go mekel when it comes to rabbanan. I mean, the whole iser of prohibiting something that was, right? The whole idea of saying we're prohibiting something that was made, the iser, is all din d'rabbanan. This is all rabbinic law we're learning. Right, so if there's a suffix about whether it was really usser, so we're not going to usser it. So this is the source for a very important halacha that occurred in the beginning of those Bishul Shirim. Right, this is the Mishnah Berurah. This is it. Right, this is the source. What was that important halacha? That if somebody, that if you go into a house, right, this answers Joel's kasha to me before I got the job. Right, it was Joel. Well, half of the question, because the question was, would you eat in people's houses? My answer was, there's really very little that would be my problem in someone's house. There might be a lot that would be their problem, but there probably wouldn't be a lot that would be my problem, because in terms of the Hilchos Shabbos issues, because unless a person is taking cold water, and putting it on a stove and heating it up on Shabbos, right? Or taking meatballs and cooking them on Shabbos, or taking a barbecue and heating it up on Shabbos, right? And whether you put on a blech, or whether there's a second covering to the blech, or whether there's all that stuff are all dini d'rabbanan, right? All these things, you can usually find a suffix about whether the person is really violating malacha. And the person's not, if there's only a suffix about whether the person's violating some kind of malacha, or a suffix about whether somebody's violating some kind of dini d'rabbanan, so the other people around are allowed to drink it. Right, so even though I don't think that one should take hot water and pour it directly onto a tea bag on Shabbos, right, there is a shita of the Rishonim that holds that you could do that. So once there's a shita that assumes that you can do that, right, so I can drink it on Shabbos if someone else is doing it. I wouldn't do it, right, and our Rishonim that hold that the person that does it violates it an issur d'oraisa. But if it's done, right, there is a shitas rishonim that holds that way, so therefore I'm allowed to partake of that food and drink.
That when I go to whose name shall be, I will not mention that he asked me to open the soda bottles for him. So apparently I'm not machped on that.
Right, so that's a further question whether you can actually ask someone to do it. Right, that's a further issue. There's issue A that comes up during the summer, okay, when it's Shabbos for some and not Shabbos for others.
You didn't ask me, you just
so is that right? Is that a problem? Right. Then there's a second level of question. If you hold somebody's out there and person something is mutter, am I allowed to ask him to do it for me? I mean, in my case, I'm in someone's house and they ask me if I want tea, and I say yes, and then they go. I had no idea how they're going to make tea, and then they go and make tea in what we would call the quote unquote wrong way. Right, so now I'm saying, okay, it's made, I'm allowed to drink it, right? But to actually proactively ask somebody, I only drink essence, right? I don't do the kos shlishi, right? To me, to ask someone who holds a kos shlishi to do it for me, that's a...
Can you ask for, the second time you go
that's
to
a further question.
The second time you go to the same house... Can you ask
right, same kasha.
If you know?
Right, that's the same kasha. It also depends on how big a suffix is, how big a chumra is it. It's a question of Erevin, right? If somebody holds the Erevin, somebody else doesn't. Right? So or Sobolovsky, who was I listening to? One of the shim I was listening to, realized, I think it was Ezra Schwartz. my friend who gave a similar shiur to what I did on the halachos of checking an Erev. So he pointed out, like, it's all fine and good if you don't want to hold of the Erev, but realize that there's also been Adam Lechavero concerns. Right? If you're not holding the Erev and your wife holding the Erev, right, that might lead to various difficulties. Right, so realize what the impact is. Okay, anyways, that's way off topic. Okay. So okay. So Gimel is, right, Osha'asa Achas Mishar Malachus. See where you are, Brian. Shin Yud Ches, right, Mishnah Brura Sif Gimel. Right, Achas Mishar Malachus. V'im hi Malacha Durabanan, Ein Rabbi Yor Agrasha, Harich Lochiyat Uchluyam Yim Aso Sabishogig, Ein Lesser B'di Evid Lihanos Mimena. Right, that if it was only a Milchalacha Durabanan, check out the Gra. That everybody would agree that if somebody does that b'shogeg, ain't less or b'diav lihanos b'mena. So then there's no iser to get hanah from it. I mean, this whole discussion is only if they violate a malacha d'oraisa. But if they only violate a malacha d'rabanan, then other people are allowed to benefit from that. Okay, the gra is the big kula in all of this, as we're going to see. Right, aser lo liolam, right, and what it means, it says lolam, it means forever, right, the Mishnah Berura says, right, lihenos mi osa malacha, right, you're never allowed to get malacha, a mahanah from there, the kansu hu rabbanan, the rabbanan place a knas, right, it is all din rabbanan, the rabbanan said that's a knas, right, it's a fine, literally. Right, however, it is permissible to make money off of that malacha. So what would that be? What would be the example of that?
The baker we said before.
Right, the case of the baker. Very good. Right, the case of the baker. The baker cooks on Shabbos. He's not allowed to cook on Shabbos. He's not allowed to eat it, but he's allowed to sell it. And if he gets money for it, he's allowed to get hanah from it. So therefore, it doesn't sound like there should be an isser of me giving money to the baker for that bread. At least that's what it seems like.
But this knas is for what? This knas.
The Rabbanan said that you violated Dindur Araisa. You're not allowed to get hanah from it. Now you're right. So it's Marcus saying, well, as a shul president, how exactly do we exert control over these guys that are being machal shanah? So yeah, that's a good question. Okay, a good question. So kasam magin avram b'shem harashba. The gam hakedera shabishal ba b'shabbos asurula. Right now, here's a good question. Right, so I cook on Shabbos. Right, so okay, nebuch the food. I'm not going to get any hana from the food. Right. However, whenever we talk about food being cooked in a pot, what else is there? Right. Besides the food itself, there's also the pot. Right. Do we assume that there are blios? Right. The absorptions from that food into the pot. Right? Is that becoming? Does that mean that have I ossered the pot from now
to
on?
The point of getting an ah from the pot.
That's what it sounds like. Right? You got or that I got a kasher the pot,
which is a malacha. Which might.
Well, I'd have to wait till after Shabbos. Yes. Shavuot Shabbos Asur Lo Levashel Ba Mifnei Shehi Blua Midavar Iser, because it's absorbed something that's aser. V'Dafka Hamavashel Liberia About Hamavashel Lechola
Levari.
Levari, okay. About Hamavasha, Lechola Mutaris Hekadera. The Mishnah points out that's only, by the way, if you cook for a healthy person. But if you were cooking for a chola, so then the pot is mutter. I mean, if I was cooking for somebody who was a chola, therefore requiring me to cook, it was mutter for me to do, so then it is that the pot is mutter. Right, so that is
the food is mutter.
The food, right? The food is mutter. The food is can another person eat the food? No, the food is us and someone else. That's the next siman and sif and shulchan aruch.
It's mutter to the chole.
It's mutter to the chole. It's not mutter to another person. As we're going to see.
You said you assume that's a danger. The chole is that there was a danger for life.
Yeah, whatever scenario was mutter to do, right? Whatever scenario was mutter to do, so we're going to say it's mutter. So that's what the Magen says. B'shem the Rashba. The Rashba in general takes these blios very seriously. Meaning, once there is a The Rashba is the one who holds the famous, now becoming famous question of when somebody is Megayer and they were using all kosher dishes, right? So do they have to kasher their pots? Right, so the person will swear up and down that I only use these pots for kosher food. Right, and we could believe them, and we don't even have to believe them. They believe themselves that they only believe, use it for kosher food. So why would they have to kasher their pots anyways?
Because of this bleed,
they were owned by Nanji.
Plus it was Bishul Akum. Because when they were not Jewish, they were cooking it for themselves. What's the concern of Bishul Akum? Why do we have the Isser of Bishul Akum? There's a couple of reasons, but the main reason is
fraternization.
Was afraid he's going to marry. We're not concerned that he's going to marry himself, right? Or even if we were afraid he was going to marry himself, it's now mutter for him to marry himself, or mutter for him to marry his wife, etc. Right? Right, so there's two questions, right? Number one is when a person's Megayer on Tuesday, right? So number one is, can they eat the leftover chulent from the previous Shabbos that's in their fridge, right? And the second question is, do they have to kasher all the vessels that they were using? So generally paskin lahachmir when possible. That's my psak to the food we throw out. We throw out all the food, whatever Bishul Akum food there is. We'll make them for all the metal stuff that's easy to kasher. It's really not so difficult to kasher metal. You really just dump it into it. You get one of those big hot dog pots and just dump it in. It's not a big deal. And the things that were China, so we were makel on. There's room to be makel. I think I gotta check my notes. I think Rav Shaptik said you can be makel on the whole thing. Right. The further question: do they have to tovel all their dishes? That's another shaila. Tovel their dishes. Okay. So, anyways, it's a busy day when you're Megayer, especially if you also have to get married that day. So, very exciting. All right. So good. What else do we got here? So mutter lemotzi Shabbos miyad. So remember, we had we raised the question before. Sometimes we have to wait what we call kadesha yasu, and sometimes we don't. So why here is it permitted immediately, and other time it's not? So the Gemara says vafu lemishni special bishvilo. Even if a person was cooked on their behalf, I mean, even if the person cooked for B, it's still permissible. Why? The lo ba'inan lahamtin b'kadesha yasu el b'malacha nasai de'ena yehudi. That the only times that this concept of kadesha yasu comes up is when it was malacha that was done by a non-Jew. Why?
Bishvil
Yisrael. Why? Bishvil the kal be'inav. Because then it has the possibility of becoming light in his eyes. I mean, the custom will become that the non-Jew will cook bagels such that they're ready right after Pesach. Right, or ready right after Shabbos, so that the Jew can right. So that's not such a good idea. The Isra Damir the Olivik Kacham v'Yavu Lasos Kain Pamacheres Kdeshi Yemuchalom. So they'll just constantly keep doing that. Aval Davar Hanase Ayde E Yisrael. It's something that was done by Yisrael B'Yadayim V'Aday Leikul LeMeichush Ayde Zeshenatir LeMotzi Shabbos Miyad Yavu Pamacheres. We're not concerned that just because we're mothering it right as the Shabbos is over, we're going to have the person do it again. Normally Yisrael Levashim Lo B'Shabbos. We're going to tell him again. But Odin also, right? Also, that a Jew won't listen, that a person puts the in Adam Chote below low. I think that means that a person won't sin if it's not for his own benefit. I think we could. That's enough for that. And then the Shogay, the last Mishnah, not the last Mishnah Brura. Let's go to the last Mishnah Brura, Zion. Right, gam la'achirim. So here's where the Gra comes up. So you need the Gemara pligi be'inyan shogeg u'mezin. Remember, this is how he introduced the sugya. Now the Gemara has a dispute about shogeg u'mezin. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. V'das ha'shulchan aruch hu das Rabbi Yehuda. Right, the shulchan aruch paskin straight through like Rabbi Yehuda. Shechem iskimu ha'rif ha'ramba v'ag'onim v'ag'onim. V'ag'ra, right, there's a period after v'ag'ra.
Vagra
is a new sentence.
Yes.
Right, that's what I thought. Vagra hiskin bibiuro, lishita satosus. The Gra, however, in his Biur holds like Tosos, Visiatum, and their support, the Pasuk Rebbe Meir, that actually passes like Rebbe Meir. The Vimezid Usser, Bein Lo Bein Lacherim, Ad Motzei Shabbos. That when it's bemazed, it's usser, whether for him or whether for others, until Motzei Shabbos. Uvishogeg mutter gam lo miyad. And if it was done bishogeg, it is permissible for him immediately. Uvimakom hatzorich yishlis mochalzeh bebishol bishogeg. And in the welcome tzorich, one can be so mech on this for cooking bishogeg. Right, that if you that if the person cooked bishogeg, so you could be makel based on this grub b'mokom atzorich when necessary. So with this, that's what he thought for this fellow who was in his relative's house that were turning the lights on and off. So there's two ways of looking at them, right? If a person is right, there's two ways of looking at a Jew who's mechal, you know, who's not from, right? So you can either, as the Gemara seems to say, you can either look at them and say they're ka'akum, right? They're like a non-Jew, right? That seems to be what the Gemara says. A mechal shas b'for hesya, right? We view them as a nachri. So if that's the case, then these melachos don't apply. I mean, these knossos don't. It's as if it was done by a nachri. On the other hand, we, bizman hazeh, we don't think of them that way, right? We assume that all Jews are Jews, right? And based on, this is already Paskin 200 years ago, 150 years ago or so, right? That we assume that all Jews, you know, today that are in Shomer Torah Mitzvos, they just weren't, you know, they just don't know yet, right? They're what we call Tinuk Shenishba, they're people that were, you know, as if they were captured, they're not educated, etc. So therefore, that idea that they're not, that they're considered Ka'akum doesn't exist anymore. They're considered like non-Jews doesn't exist anymore. Rather, how do we view them? We view them as Jews that just are not doing the right thing right now, but they have the potential to do the right thing. So, if that's the case, in effect, it's a Jew doing something b'shogeg. In a way, it makes it worse. Right? But usually it was a kula, that being it, which is usually a leniency, right? So now we can invite them briyantif meals, we can, right? All of a sudden, it seems like they're a Jew that's doing it. Right, it's also now you're back to a Jew doing it. In which case, maybe it's malach on Shabbos again. But the Arab, you could rely, but malach matzorah, he could rely on this gra.
You can't. In his case, you can't say b'mezid, you can't say b'shogeg because he doesn't even know enough.
Yeah, the question is it shogeg or is it something different?
What?
Even
honest. Right. No, I mean, it's hard to say because they know it's Shabbos. I mean, they have relatives in the house that aren't doing it, so it's hard to say that it's.
Well, they know Shabbos, but they don't have anything to do with Shabbos.
They know, right? But they. Right, they don't know that this is really us around Shabbos. They don't know Shabbos.
They don't know.
Right. Okay. So, so you can even make the case that it's Misasik. You're saying. You can make the case that it's Misasik. Okay. Fine. Anyways, I thought there were a couple of reasons why you could be making on that case. I just wanted to just point out from this. Let's see, the Pesukei Tshuvos. So he has a couple of interesting things halacha lemaisa based on this. He points out, what about if the electricity went out and was put back by Jews? So that'd be okay. I mean, this is like such a clear, like, B'nai Brak, Shaila. Yeah? That a Jew put the electricity back on. So would that mean that it is now usher for everyone? What about the food, right? If you had food that was sitting on the crock pot. So now the food was cooked, basically because a Jew turned on electricity, you know, 2 miles away. Right? So what happens to that food? So he quotes those that are usher. That or you got to check or whatever. Also, lahanos meorach hashmal. You're not allowed to get any enough from it. And then he says, v'yish matirin.
But there's not a direct connection between flipping the switch here. The guy flipping the switch 2 miles away doesn't know.
He's saying it's only a dinder abundant, in which right. Case the grow would be makel anyways. Right, he doesn't really bring anybody that would be makel. But he does say the kula would be, I thought this was a nice ingenuity, on them, yesha kasu, those that write, who's he quote here? Shmir Shavs Kehilchasa, good. Shekolza amor im no te kachashmal b'shchuna achad bilvan. That if there's only one neighborhood that this electricity has to do with, and you know for sure that there's nobody who's a chola in that neighborhood. But if you don't know for sure she'ain sham chulish sheish v'sakana, that you don't, if you don't know that maybe there is somebody who's sick, right? Oh, she needs to kachash mavukol ayir, and you need, you know, and therefore to turn back on, you need electricity in the whole city. So now everybody's allowed to get the benefit from because of this chulish sheish v'sakana that it was made for. Therefore, you're allowed to get benefit for these other things. The other question he raises here is, what about the bus? If the, you know, the buses that show up at the Kotel right after Shabbos is over. Right, also
they don't charge you money to get on. They don't. They're free from the Kotel.
Yeah. Right, they're free. So are you allowed to take those bus if that bus was driven to the Kotel right after Shabbos? So on one hand, we want to say...
Before Shabbos is over.
Before Shabbos is over, right? So I don't know if they do. I assume that they don't really do that. I don't know.
In some cities, probably.
Whatever. So assuming it maybe was driven by a Jew before Shabbos is over.
Private company could do that again.
What?
You're in a private tour, whatever, the tour driver, Jewish, but not observant, he advises them.
Right. Okay. So right. Good. So in our sif, we said right that right after Shabbos is over, you're allowed to get hung up from that malacha. Right. That's what we said. So he's saying, yeah. That's to get hana after Shabbos is over. But here you're really getting hana on Shabbos, meaning the malacha that's being done for your benefit is not the driving that's done. It's the driving that's done before Shabbos in order to get there on time. So he says, perhaps for that reason, it should be prohibited. I don't know what's done in practice. I don't know, but I thought that was.
So you're saying there's some people getting on those buses.
That's right.
But the question is, whether they get on right after Shabbos, or do they wait a certain amount of time that would have given the bus driver enough time to drive from his starting location to the Kotel? If it takes you 20 minutes, then you wait 20 minutes and.
Yeah.
Who's writing this in?
This is Shlomo Rabinowitz, the Sefer Piskei Tshuva. So this is, the Sefer is actually, it's all like little nuggets here. So if you look, I bought this, I guess now, when I'm a year in Eretz Yisrael, which is now over like about 12, 13 years ago. So if you buy now the book on Hilchos Shabbos, it's about twice as wide. So he keeps adding in more and more, tradition gets fatter and fatter. But he also has now pretty much all of Aruch Chaim, except for Erevin. But on Chayat Mishnah, Chayat Sheni are big fat books. And he quotes basically post-Mishnah Brura stuff, discussions. Right, from a Hasidish, from a Israeli Haredi.
What I was visiting my sister in Israel. All right.